focus on a very important aspect of any relationship, but specifically when it comes to marriage. The Torah tells us at the beginning of the creation, right, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, after creating Adam, it says Hashem Vayipach, Hashem blew neshama. Right, Hashem blew neshama. Adam's body from dust, from dirt, and he blew the neshama. Right, ba'apav. By the way, when you say no, blew neshama ba'apav, that's the reason, because originally it used to be that, you know, there was no sickness. People just would sneeze and they would die. Right, because the same way, why sneezing? Because the same Hashem blew the neshama in, so the same way it came in, it would go out. Right, that's why it's customary, like in all cultures, when somebody sneezes, either they say, you know, libriyut, asuta, gezunt, because it used to be, right, just the same way it came in, Hashem blew in the neshama, and then, you know, just, a person would sneeze, right, it says, vayipach ba'apav nishmat chayim, vayhi adam nefesh chaya. So, the unkelus, right, unkelus, it's a translation of the Torah, which is not just a literal translation, it's a lot of time, you know, major commentary, you know, built into the translation. Unkelus says, translates unefach ba'anpohi nishmeta dechayei v'havat be'adam leruach memalela. Right, so Unkelus says that this, when Hashem blew the neshama in Adam, he was able to speak. So, the power of speech, this is the ruach, this is the neshama. We have neshama. Neshama is the power of speech. That's the expression of neshama in us, the ability to speak. And we know that the Zohar HaKadosh says that the neshamot, like they say, like, you know, he found or she found his or her soulmate. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that the neshamot, that the souls are together. The souls of husband and wife, they're together up there in Shamayim. Hashem separates them and sends them separately here in this world, and then they meet each other and they become one. So marriage, it's like, you know, the neshamot coming together, and the Zohar says that the neshama, it's like a diamond, a sapphire, and they said the only way you could polish sapphires, it's like by rubbing them against each other. We just had tonight here by Israel Tauber. He's a very, you know, internationally known, renowned speaker. He was here on behalf of Yad L'Achim. So first time I heard this Zohar from him. Right, it says in a proof, when you mention something that you heard from the original sayer of it, so then you bring Geula, redemption, closer. By Israel Tauber. So he was saying, like, you know, the only way that you could shape a diamond, wow, this is a blackout. Okay, this is a blackout.
This is a blackout. Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's not. Huh?
Okay, so we could continue. I don't think anything dangerous. Oh yeah. Do you want to check down so maybe somebody is, you know, where is he working?
I'm working near the parking lot.
So it says, so the only way, the way they polish diamonds, is like, you rub one diamond against another diamond. You don't take, like, you know, metal blades or something to do that. It won't cut it. Diamond is so hard. The only thing that could really shape a diamond is another diamond. Like the blade that they cut diamonds with, it's made of sapphire or diamond. Because only that material, it's, you know, it's strong enough to be able to cut through the diamond. So the Zohar says that, you know, our neshamot are like diamonds. for that neshama to be shaped when it comes to this world, it takes the rubbing against another diamond, right, which is relationships, right? The relationships, it's all about like, you know, these neshamot, these souls rubbing against each other, and through that this neshama is, so to speak, shaped, and it comes to its completion. So therefore, that's why the Torah says as a kenegdo. That's why the Torah says that, you know, it doesn't, you know, marriage. It's not about like, you know, two people that, you know, they look alike and think alike, and they see things eye to eye, and that's the purpose. It's not. It's as a kenegdo. It's by rubbing against against each other. In a proper way, that's how those neshamot come to their completion, so to speak. So, major way that this is done is through communication. If neshama is ruach memalela, if having a neshama, right, it's like the power of speech. So the way we relate to each other, the way we communicate, the way we talk to each other, this is the major way how the neshama really comes to its completion, and that happens, that takes place on a daily basis. The way we talk to each other and we communicate, it's really all about, like, you know, what the neshama is all about. And, you know, the Torah one of the negative commandments of the Torah is ona'ah. The Torah says Al Tonu Ishet Amito. It says, do not, I mean, ona'ah, it's repeated twice in the Torah. Once, in one instance, ona'ah means cheating financially each other. The Torah talks, you know, over and over about, like, you know, not stealing, being, you know, about honesty and integrity, and it's also expressed through ona'ah. And then when
we have to do with the internal opinion.
Is somebody working on it though?
He already called the WP.
Okay, fine. As long as somebody is working on it, that's fine. So you see, there is, you know, this ona'at, there's ona'at in two ways. One is financially hurting somebody, and then there is another shape of ona'ah which is even more severe, that is called ona'at devarim. Ona'at devarim is like by hurting another person. When we hurt somebody's feelings by words, this is considered even more severe than, you know, cheating him financially or even inflicting upon him physical injuries. This is according to what the Torah says. Ona'at devarim, it's much more severe. It's like, you know, I'm sure you have heard when we were kids, there was one of the stories we had in our textbooks in Iran. It was this story about the lion and a human being, that they were friends. And the deal was that the lion he would provide the food in that relationship. So once the lion is delayed in bringing the food, and the friend, the human being, like, you know, teases him, and, you know, about, like, oh, you're lazy bones, where were you, this and that. So lion, having the pride of, you know, he was insulted. So it says that you know, the lion took a sword to his friend, to the human being, and told him, like, to hit him. To hit him on his forehead. So he didn't want to do that. He said, no, you have to do it. He forces him to do it. So when he does it, like, you know, so he hits the sword on his forehead, so then blood gushes out, and the lion, like, you know, screams and runs away. And then he comes back after a while, and when he comes back, he tells him, look at my forehead. He's like, you know, the wound that you inflicted on my face, it's gone. But the wound that you inflicted on my heart, that's not healed. So this really reflects what the Torah says, that ona'at devarim, like, you know, injuring somebody with words and injuring their feelings, it's considered a much more grave sin in Torah's view than injuring them physically or financially, right? And it's all that's why this being so careful, right? The way we communicate with each other, and it happens a lot, unfortunately, in marriage also, right? You see, I was talking to a couple that they are more observant, and the type of insults when they have fights, the exchange between each other. So I told them, look, this is, each time you're doing that, you consider yourself religious. It's you're putting, it's mitzvah asemi d'orayt. It's like you're stepping on the Sefer Torah. It's like this is what the Torah says. The Torah regards on at devarim, injuring and insulting with words, more than even physical things. Right. Fortunately, we don't have the right yardsticks for describing. I was talking to somebody was saying, they want to say somebody is religious, he's Shomer Shabbat, but Shmirat Shabbat is just one aspect. It's much more accurate to say this person is Shomer Mitzvot, that he keeps the Mitzvot in totality, not just Shabbat. It's not Shabbat. It's not just Kashrut. You remember we spoke about this. The Torah says lo tisnai tachicha bilvavecha, when we hold a grudge. A few sessions ago when we spoke about grudge, holding a grudge, every second that we have sinah, we have hatred towards another Jew, and that another Jew could be our spouse, we are really we are disrespecting what the Torah says. Lo tisnai tachicha bilvavecha, it's a constant avera. It's a constant sin. Unlike not keeping kosher, etc., which is a few minutes and that's it. So when it comes, the way we act with it, the way we communicate, that the respect that needs to be maintained in a relationship, we are dealing with the major biblical, right, commandments, positive and negative. See, we don't have the electricity now, but
is this hell?
What? Oh, okay. Let me see. Very good. So you see, Rambam. It's very romantic this week, right? So it's very befitting to the subject. Right. Okay. I could use this. Beautiful. When Rambam says on the way Jewish families have worked for thousands of years, he says v'chen tzivu chachamim shehi adam mechabed et ishto yoter megufo. Right, the chachamim have commanded us that the person should respect his wife more than himself, the ohava kegufan, to love her like himself, respect more than himself, right? It says halachically, a person if it comes to the man has to save on his expenses for buying accessories for himself to the benefit of his wife, right? It says so it's mechabda yoter megufo. When it comes to kavod and respect, she comes first, and ohava kegufo, and to love her like himself. Ve'im yesh lo mamon marbe v'tovata kefi mamono, and he should, according to the bracha that Hashem gives him, support his wife. And it says ve'ye diburo ima benachat, right? So Rambam emphasizes more than anything the dibur. Other he says, as far as financially, this and that, to take care of her according to what Hashem, the blessing Hashem gives him. But Rambam emphasizes ויהיה דיבורו אימה בנחת ולא יהיה עצב ולא רגזן. Rambam says when he comes home he should not be עצב, he should not be sad, depressed, ולא רגזן, and not to be angry. This is next week's Bezrat Hashem topic. But you see, דיבורו אימה בנחת. And Rambam says that as far as the husband is concerned, when it comes to the isha, to the woman, he says she has to respect her husband biyoter midai, since us men we have a lot of gavam, we have a lot of we are big shots, so that's why Rambam emphasizes that he has to respect him like a king, etc. But you see, it's interesting that Rambam, I don't know, maybe things have changed. But Rambam says, "Yet diburo imah benachat," that the way he speaks to her, he has to talk to her in a calm manner. Right? Usually, what I hear, it's like, you know, ladies raise their voice a lot. But you see, it's a lot of things. It's very interesting. See, after the original sin in the Torah, it says Hashem said, "Vehu yimshol bach." Hashem said that the man should rule over the woman, right? But they say now, they say before Mashiach comes, the end of the time, these punishments diminish more and more, right? You see now, it says be'etzev tel dibanim, it says like in a childbirth will be with a lot of pain. Nowadays, even that has changed, Baruch Hashem. Not as dangerous nearly as it used to be, childbirth, and so the pain. You have all these painkillers, etc. It's not the way it used to be, epidural, etc., etc. It's not. So Reb David Cohen, one of the great sages of this generation, he says, all these aftermath of this original sin and the punishments are diminishing when we get closer to Mashiach. So it's all the relationship between the husband and wife also, it's the same thing. It's not the way, now you have all the, in Judaism always ladies had a very, very, very high, the respect that Judaism has for women, you don't have in any other religion. I think Judaism is the only major religion that that it goes according to the mother, not the father. Like being Jewish, it all depends on the mother, right? Low battery, right? So, so you see, just tonight, when Rabbi Tauber was here, the articles here, they went to Gaza to save Jewish kids. They're Jewish kids, they are unfortunately Israeli Jewish girls that got married to these Arabs. Right, so they're Jewish kids in Gaza. So they went in there, and they brought some of these kids back, and they had bar mitzvah for them, etc. Because the mother is Jewish, the kid is Jewish, no matter where this kid is. There was another case. I was just dealing with a couple that they had problems from New York, not from here. They went back to Iran. He took her back to Iran. The girl is from Iran, and the family is from there. So he went there from New York. They got married, and things didn't work out the way it should be. So he figured he doesn't want to just leave her in America. He doesn't have any relatives. So he took her back to Iran, and he just somewhat tricked her, and he left and came back without So I told her, and he has a baby. And I told him, look, the baby is, this is you have responsibility. Mm-hmm. You can't, aside from all the other things that are wrong, this, you have responsibility to, unfortunately this guy was involved with all sorts of non-Jewish girls before. And I told him, look, you have to count your blessings. You have a Jewish kid. Finally, the mother is Jewish. And you have to do anything within your, abilities to raise him as a Jewish kid, whatever it takes. Hopefully he's going to listen. But the idea is that Rambam says, what Rambam emphasizes more than anything, he says, Ve'ye diburo ima benachat. The dibur. The way we communicate with each other, it has to be in a respectable manner. That's everything, right? It's and unfortunately, as I was saying, telling you, this couple that were, when they start fighting and all the you know, the way what is being exchanged between them is constantly stepping on a Sefer Torah. Nothing short of that. When that respect is not, it's not maintained there. So there is a book that I would like to introduce to you by Dr. Wikler, W-I-K-L-E-R. It's an art scroll book. The title is 10 minutes. Ten minutes a day to a better marriage. Right, 10 minutes. That's always what it takes. 10 minutes a day to a better marriage, getting your spouse to understand you. So there's an article there, you know, one of the essays there that I wanted to just, you know, to dwell on a little bit tonight. That it talks about really, you know, effective communication, which, as we have seen, right, it's really fundamental to any relationship, and especially when it comes to marriage, right? How to, right, to communicate effectively and respectfully with each other. So he has, you know, we're not gonna have time to go through the whole thing, but some of the points that he brings out, again, if you know, I repeat the name, if you want to get the book, I really highly recommend. It's a very practical book. So a lot of times you go to therapists, you know, you have, you know, therapists are different kinds. Some of them are more directive, some of them are like, you know, they are analytical, and they want to, like, you know, go to your childhood, and, you know, you have to go, and really, in a lot of cases, this is the way really to solve the problem. You need to go back to the roots, etc., etc. But you see, I like more directive type of counseling. And what Dr. Wikler does in his book, he's very practical. Gives you, and you know, for, I think for some cases that they are not as involved, right, this kind of self-help books could be very, very helpful. There's some cases that we really need therapy, whatever it takes, right, but he's very directive, and the book is a very good book. 10 minutes a day again, so the title is 10 minutes a day to a better marriage, getting your spouse to understand you. Dr. Meir Wikler, W-I-K-L-E-R. It's an art scroll book. So some of the points that he brings out about in effective communication, first of all, he says timing is very important. Right? A lot of times, you know, next week again on anger, we're going to dwell on this more. Right? You know, not always, you know, the Gemara tells us also, I can be shat kaaso, when a person at the time, the person is angry, you can't really communicate with them, right? So any kind of effective communication, it says, you know, be sure your spouse is listening, right? If your spouse is not listening, you're wasting your time. And sometimes we are not ready to discuss something. So it would be really advisable to communicate. Honey, could we talk now? Is it a good time to talk or not? Chas v'chayel. And that's what he, you know, this Dr. Wikler has been, you know, he has very good reputation as a very effective therapist for, I don't know, 40 years he has been practicing, I don't know. So he says, you know, verbally it is advisable to actively check out your spouse's readiness by asking, can you talk now? Right? Is it a good time or not? If the answer is no, to be very, you know, not to get agitated, etc., I say, like, you know, when do you think would be a good time? Right? Sometimes, you know, maybe it will be another day, a few hours. So this is, I know a person that is unfortunately involved in his divorce. He was married to a Jewish woman and he's divorced. And he has a non-Jewish girlfriend, and he gets along with her very well. So I talk to him a lot. So he told me, like, see, she knows how to. This person has anger, has temper, unbelievable. That's what ruined his marriage. You see, like, you know, she apparently, this girl knows how to. And she's like, okay, I know, we cannot talk now. We're going to talk a few hours, another day. And it's really, and she's able to tame him, right? And it takes, you know, and unfortunately, you know, temper is enemy number one. Right. I told you the Gemara, the Talmud has its ways of giving the messages. The Gemara in Masechet Sotah says that when temper enters marriage, uncontrolled temper, it's like having worms in sesame seeds. Sesame seeds are tiny. Right. So if you have anger there, you have temper, uncontrolled temper, forget about it. Right. And it's destructive beyond, you know. I think probably I shared with you the statistics from the American, from the Jewish Federation. Not a religious thing at all. That they found out that, you know, over 80% of kids that intermarry, they marry out of Judaism, they come from homes that the relationship wasn't, the relationship wasn't good, right? That, you know, the parents were constantly fighting, etc., or divorce, whatever. It says, like, you know, over 80%, it's very interesting statistics. They wanted to see, like, you know, what contributes to assimilation. And this came out to be fact. The most major one was Jewish, Jewish education. That was, it was proven beyond any question that the more years of Jewish education a kid has, the less the chances of intermarriage. Clearly. And again, the American Jewish Federation, it's not a religious thing. They're not religious. They have all, you know. So this is a correlation that was found to be clear cut. And another correlation was, if there was peace and harmony, a good relationship at home, the chances of intermarriage were clearly would diminish, right? And vice versa. So be sure, one is be sure your spouse is listening. Two, always when we have discussions that, you know, it's like, you know, we want to criticize at a certain point, there are certain points that need to be discussed and, you know, resolved. It's very, and this is also we learned from the Torah. We learned it actually from the Navi. Begin with something positive. Right? When it comes to, you know, King Shaul, Amelech Shaul, was a very interesting personality. He was, on one hand, he was a big tzaddik, very righteous man. On the other hand, he had problems. But you see, it's very interesting that when Hashem wants to criticize him first, Hashem, like, also mentions to the Navi his virtue, his good points. First, like, you know, he's praised, and then he's criticized. So they say, like, you know, this is very important in between husband and wife also. So Dr. Wickler suggests, he says, begin always with something positive. Whenever you need to have a serious discussion with anyone, it is always advisable to begin with something positive. Right? Obviously, it has to be sincere. You can't, right? You can't just, you know, check it be mahal keshidan. It's worthless. Just to write, you know, to say tarufai irani, things that don't exist. It's just it loses its effectiveness. But it's always, as I said, we learn it from the Navi. Right? Hashem, when we are talking about Shaul HaMelech, Hashem wants to criticize him at first. Like they say, Rabbi Sal Salanter, once he wanted to admonish one of his students. He had done something. So he waited for 6 months till he had something truly positive to praise him for that, and then he went to him. And first he told him the positive, and then he criticized him for whatever, you know, as a mentor. But then he waited for 6 months till he had a real positive thing to say. I told that to somebody that he has a problem with his wife. He said, even if I wait for years, I won't find anything positive. I want to wait for that. That, you see, if you go back to the first session that we had, one of the first sessions, from Tomer Devorah, oh, you see, always, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, he said, Chafetz Chesed, the Jews were worshipping idols, they're doing murderous, everything. But Hashem looked at one positive thing that were Chesed, they were giving charity. You always, you know, there is, you can't, it's impossible not to find, you know, some positive things. It's impossible. Right. Always, if you look, you know, careful enough, you'll find something. So, and this is not just in a between husband and wife, it's in any relationship. It says when we want to criticize, always begin with something positive, real. Not to make up things. Something that, you know, there's some positive thing that, you know, that it's real, and then we could bring up the issues. So, what's the reason for that? Because, you know, he explains people automatically become defensive when they hear someone beginning with negativity. I mean, nobody likes to be criticized. We all love compliments, and we hate criticism. This is obvious. You know, our egos would right away be alert. So, but if the same comments were preceded by a compliment, people would be vastly more open to consider what they are being told. So this is very, very good advice, and as we said, it comes, has heavenly roots to it, that whenever we need to discuss something and issues do come up, I told you, like married life, it's like living in a submarine, right? You always have, you know, frictions come up, and we just said tonight, it's like the diamonds rubbing against each other, right? That's how the diamond gets polished. So frictions, it's the name of the game. It always is going to come up. But how to resolve them, that's something that really takes an art. Right. So always to start with something positive. Next. Do not attack. Right. So he suggests, he says the best way to avoid attacking your spouse is to try to frame your comments using I. Right? I think maybe it's better to do like this. Instead of saying, you no good, you always do this, you do that, right? The minute we are attacking, right, it becomes a ping pong game. That, you know, there's not going to be, you know, something substantial that it's going to take, but it's going to be constructive. It's going to be just a game. Right? So do not attack. It should be right, the way it's framed. For instance, in the example that he brings, he says, he's talking about probably an older couple, that, you know, they had a dispute over how much they should support their children, right? So he says, this is a real case that, you know, apparently it came to him, and he changed the names. He says, Zev, the husband, was very stingy about giving monetary gifts to their married children. His wife, she felt that he was selfish when he insisted that he wanted to keep his money for himself. Instead of, right, criticizing Zev with unflattering terms, Sarah, his wife, learned how to express her feelings in a less confrontational manner. Right? So, for instance, he says, like, you know, I would like to give some money to our children to help them with their upcoming holiday expenses. Right? That's how she, you know, instead of, like, you know, you don't, she comes with I think that's what we should do, and I hope you'll, and you see this way. So he says, like, you know, this type of strategy, like, you know, with this couple worked very well. 4, and this is very important, do not exaggerate, right? You know, when it comes, like, you know, when one of, you know, we have this tendency of like, you know, globalization, that nothing is good, everything is bad, and, you know, you're, you know, so exaggeration, it's destructive. So now, psychologically, why do we exaggerate? Right? Exaggeration is one way in which we vent our feelings when we are upset. Right? This is very normal. When people are upset, they exaggerate. But you have to realize that, you know, this is in the context of, you want to, like, have a effective communication, this is destructive. This may relieve our inner tension, but it does not do much to promote marital harmony. It doesn't help. So once your spouse hears any slight exaggeration on your part, they're waiting for it. Whoever, you know, they're waiting, they're exaggerating, so then they're going to write off everything. So once they detect, you know, that in a slight exaggeration, so he or she will feel fully justified in rejecting everything you have to say. Because it's like it disqualifies everything, just throw it away. And you see, David HaMelech tells us, you see, a person that is really wants, a person that wants to grow, the only way to grow is through constructive criticism. We do not see our own faults. We have to realize that. And who better than our soulmates, our spouse, if there is a loving relationship, that we should hear our faults and try to work on it. David HaMelech says, you know, Bakamim alai mereim, what's the rest? Tishmana oznai. Bakamim alai mereim, tishmana oznai. David HaMelech says, when mereim is like, when evil people, they stand against me and they curse me out and they criticize me, I open my ears.
Wow.
I open my ears because maybe there is a grain of truth in what they say. For sure they are exaggerating. But you see, because David HaMelech says, because if you're surrounded by all kinds of yes men that only praise you, etc., etc., you're not going to find your own faults. Especially people that have temper, etc. Nobody dares tell them what a cheshvut habrus. Right? This is, you know, so David HaMelech says, Bakamim alai mere'im. When people that are mere'im, people that are my enemies, when they get up against me and they start, like, you know, lashing me out, tishmana oznai, I open my ears to see that maybe, for sure they are exaggerating, for sure they have ulterior motives, no questions about it, they are my enemies. But since my friends would not, you know, would not tell me my faults, I would hear it from them. So, but you see, you know, we have to cater, we have to realize people do have egos. We all have egos, and we don't want to hear that. That's why we should try to be act in a smart manner. Not, you know, as we said, the timing is very important, right? And also not to attack. We start with the praise, etc. And it's also very important not to criticize on the spot. But they say compliments need to be immediate, right? And if you tell your wife after a couple of days, oh, the supper was delicious a few nights ago, it's compliments, this is the rule. Compliments need to be immediate. But when it comes to criticism, always it's assumed to criticize on the spot. You do not criticize on the spot. You have to wait. You have to wait till it's shata kosher. It's also, again, if you're even at work with workers, etc. Compliments should be on the spot. But when it was when it comes to criticizing, we have to sit on it. Sometimes we saw Rabbi Salanter waited 6 months, right, till he had something positive to say. Anyway, so not to exaggerate, it's very important, because exaggeration, what it does is, like, you know, they are going to just disregard anything that you had to say, even if there was a grain of truth in what you said, you lost it. Next, do not mind read. Many people like to play like psychologists and figure out what others are thinking, right? You don't really care about me. This kind of statement, like, now I'm reading somebody's mind. You don't really care about me. You know, another statement that is like, you know, it's like, you know, reading somebody's mind is, you knew that would upset me and still you did it. How do you know? How do you know that I, you knew, you know, it's like you're reading somebody's mind. Or, I know you don't really mean what you just said, or, you know, right? So they say, like, you know, that this is, you know, mind reading. Do not mind read. It needs to be clear. Is that what you meant? Right? Guesswork should be taken out of communication. It's very important, really, to say, you know, in our culture, it's beating around the bush, unfortunately, is very, very common, right? Not to be, you know, it's like, you know, one thing is, and you see, when I came to LA, I really had problems because of this. Because, you see, I grew up out of Iran. I was 13, 14 years old, I left Iran, I was in Israel and then in America. So when I came to LA, I really got burnt out a few times. I would deal with people and they would tell you something. But then you see, they really totally meant something else. Right? So then somebody told me, he said, look, when Persians talk, There is subtitle. They tell you this, but they mean something else. So you see, if both parties right, are communicating the same way that they, oh, he's saying something, but you read the subtitles, so then it could be fine. But you see, if one of them has subtitles and the other one doesn't, then it's a problem, right? So, you know, anyway, I don't want to be...
The other one doesn't know he's supposed to read the subtitles.
That's right. Second, like somebody comes and, you know, praises you and more, so, you know, he wants something big. The more, if there is a hole, you know, anyway. So, fine. So where were we? We have just a few more here. Okay, clarify, the next thing is, so don't read minds. Right, don't guess, you know, must be, you know, communicate directly. Then the next one is clarify your needs. Right. Again, this is like related to that. You see, we need to be specific. A lot of times, like, you know, spouses, you know, women especially, right? They don't, you know, they expect their husband really to read their minds, right? I was talking to a couple. So they had gone to visit his mother-in-law, and she's the mother-in-law is you know, very very advanced stages of, like, you know, she's very old, and she even doesn't recognize anybody. Alzheimer's big time. So the way it transpired was, like, the husband was very understanding, like, he was very supportive of his wife, etc. So then afterwards, after they came out of the nursing home, wherever it was, so then we're talking about a religious couple. So he took Tehillim and he was saying Tehillim. And she was beside herself. So he told her, look, why didn't you tell me that? So I didn't understand. I thought, fine, the idea, the thing was, and she acknowledged that he was very supportive up to the point that went, and the visit, and it was a very difficult visit. It's heartbreaking. Like, you know, these situations, like, you know, Alzheimer's, when they become also very abusive. It's not their fault. So he didn't realize. You see, apparently, ladies especially, after these kind of things, they need to talk about it. They need to process it. They need this and that. Men are not like that. Men and women are very different. I'm sure everybody read this book. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Right. You see, all that book, the Gemara, the Talmud in Masechet Shabbat is in one verse. It says, Nashim am acher. Talmud is talking to men. So it says, ladies, it's a different nation. Like, if you go to China, you go to Japan. It's different, you know, things are done differently. You know, it's different ways of communicating. You know, men don't have these kind of needs. And, especially, like, you know, men that don't have sisters, this is, you see, if you have, like, you know, if the woman, like, you know, doesn't have any brothers, or the husband doesn't have any sisters, it's a recipe for a lot of, because you see, you don't understand the mentality, right? You don't understand men and women are very different, right? Nashim amacher. So you see, in this case, he thought he was, like, he was very happy with himself that he was such a good husband. And he was very supportive of her, and talking to her, and giving her support, and okay, look, you know, consider the alternative, Baruch Hashem, at least she's alive, she's this, that, she's in high 80s, etc. He was very, and she acknowledged that he was very supportive, after the visit, she wanted to process, they need to talk about it. Right? We just saw in Tehillim that there is, I saw validation for that in Tehillim also, that people need to be that validation, that after something, you know, I use always to make fun of it, but you see, when I see David HaMelech talks about it, then it becomes legit, right? So he said something that she didn't have an answer. He said, look, so why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that, honey, I need to talk about this? And if she would have said it, the problem would not have erupted, because I asked her, does he love you? She said yes. He said yes, but he's dumb. He cannot read. He can't read minds, and it's as men are different than women, right? So that's why clarify your needs. Communicate. I don't like Orma Sabzi with this and this. Don't make guesswork. Like, you know, whatever it is, it's good. You know, open communication would be, you know, and don't expect them to read the subtitles. So, fine. So you see, so he says, some people have a difficult time spelling out what they want from their spouses. I shouldn't have to ask, they insist. He or she should know on his or her on her own what I want, right? If I have to ask, then I would rather not have it at all. See, this doesn't do anything to the relationship. You know, if a person would express the need, right, in a loving relationship, usually would not be a problem to accommodate. And next, this is very important, limit yourself to one or two topics. Because when you have these kind of sessions of, like, you know, airing out the problems, etc., to come with a long, long list, and also, you see, I always say, the Torah tells us that, you know, by animals, an animal that chews its cud, it's kosher. If it doesn't chew its cud, it's not kosher. But a human being that chews its cud, it's taref, it's not good. You don't go back on, like, you know, bringing, oh, it didn't start now. You know, from, you know, your 10 years ago this happened, and 15 years ago, and the other day, you remember that, you know. And also, it comes when you come with a long, long list of issues, so then it loses its effectiveness. So he calls it, he says, although it is quite prevalent, kitchen sinking is extremely, he calls it kitchen sinking, and even all the dirty dishes and the kitchen sink, everything is bad. Everything needs to be, even the kitchen sink needs to be washed, so to speak. He says, you know, it doesn't work. You see, he suggests 1-2 points, not more than that, right? He says the speaker has, when we do this kind of like a bringing long laundry list, so to speak, so then that in all these things that need to be laundered, so the speaker has guaranteed that no one topic can be explored in depth. It is far better, therefore, for the speaker to be selective and choose to address only one or at the most two issues at each communication session. And this communication session is not every day, obviously. It's once a year, whatever the need arises. If you have to wait a few months to find something positive, so automatically that spaces out these kind of conferences, so to speak. And the last point, he says, allow time for questions at the end, right? So in other words, after we present the issues that we think need to be taken care of, it's always a good idea to stop speaking before your spouse loses patience. It's very important. Before, it's like, you know, somebody was saying, it's like, you know, boiling milk. You have to be careful. When it starts boiling, forget about it. Then you're gonna have a mess to clean up. The art is to stop before when you see it's brewing, stop. Because otherwise, I don't know if you ever had to clean up, you know.
Oh yeah.
You have a sheer Jewish name here, to Yachid, you know. But you know, it's a big mess to clean up. So it is always a good idea to stop speaking before your spouse in loses patience and allow him or her to ask you questions. It is only through the questions of the listener that the speaker's words are fully understood. You would not learn very, very much attending a class, including this class, I guess, if no questions are allowed. Fine. So these are, again, this is based on this great book, highly recommended. If you have any questions, please feel free. So next week it's a biggie. It's about anger. Yes?
Better
love. Huh? Fine? Yeah.
What if you want to talk to the wife and she doesn't want to listen to you? What do you want to do?
When would be a good time? When would be a good time to talk?
Oh, that's what I was
doing. But you see, it's very important. You see, when at the time of anger, you see, Bishat Ka'aso, it's a waste of time. Either one of the parties, you see. No, we'll deal about it next week. But you see, it's that's what he said. He said, if they are not ready to talk, okay, could we make up a time that maybe right now I'm also very agitated, right? Maybe, you know, we'll make up like, you know, at you know, next day, whatever, to take a few moments to talk. But again, remember the rest of the thing. Whenever you want to talk, start with something positive. And there is always positive.
Like, you remember you said the person, he was a rabbi, he saw the wife pass away, and they go on the Kabbalah chapter with them, you know, they go find the Mahila of the Kalabo, you know. Mahila Baruch Sarif Kedem, I tell her, but if she want to talk, I have to sit and listen to her. Like, if I want to talk, she wouldn't do that.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
Fine.
Oh my God. Chant a pine drop.
Yeah.
Is it the place where I sent you? No.
No.
Oh, you see? Chochmat Nashim Banta Beita. Ladies are smart. Yes.
I have a question. So let's say you have a right place, and you're right, tone of voice, everything's perfect. You ask, you know, you talk about something, and everything's fine. But the next day, and the day after, and the month, it's the same thing. Everything's the same.
Oh, that's you have to read the Torah. You see, the Torah says that when Hashem wanted to create the Chava, He put Adam to sleep. It never doesn't say woke him up. Men are asleep. They are. That's what it says. Rabbi David says that. He says at the beginning of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him to sleep, and it doesn't say he woke him up. So us men, we don't get things fast. Patience. Hashem is not done with us. But you see again. You see a lot of things really. Reading, you know, these self-help books could be very helpful. You know, but other than that, a lot of patience. I mean, nobody is perfect. That's also we have to bear in mind. We are not perfect either. Only Hashem is perfect. Be accepting, you know, it says, Ve'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha. We all love ourselves. Every healthy human being with a healthy mind loves themselves. And we are not perfect. So the Torah says, Ve'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha. The same way, even though you are not perfect, you love yourself. So be loving of other people and understanding of their imperfections as well. Okay.
Thank you so much.
No.
Very nice. Fine.
No recap.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Baruch Tia.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Rabbi.
Is there a way wax there, no? There is I had a friend that he came to Philadelphia from Baltimore and started the center there, an outreach center.
He started which center?
Outreach center, Etz Chaim or something, you know?
Yeah, Etz Chaim is in the northeast.
Yes. Ah, yeah, I see.
It's in our area, the yeshiva is becoming the center of Jewish life now.
Oh, yeah?
It's shifting. Three Orthodox shuls, there's Russians, the two Orthodox synagogues, two Orthodox high schools, no, high school and elementary school.
Marion is
the
next to
him. No, the shul is in Philadelphia, across the street Marion, across from next to Marion is Dallas Kingwood, that's where you have there's Lower Marion Synagogue, there's Rabbi Levin Synagogue, there's Young Israel of the Main Line, a whole number.
How long have you been living there?
41 years. I
also
left when I was 12. I left Iran when I was 12.
To Israel and then America?
No, it's true. It's true.
And you know the Vassal family?
Yes, very well. Very well.
So we are related to Vassal.
You are?
Yeah.
How are you related to Vassal?
Mr. Vassal Zichrono Livracha was my father's first cousin. I've been to their house.
Wonderful. William is a
William. Yeah.
William is a bar-ish.
Yeah, we go. You know, so we go back, and William, I know him well. I missed his wedding. I was on the East Coast. Just recently.
No, he just had a little girl.
Yes,
last
kid.
Week.
One kid.
He's a boy who named Yosef after his father, and now a little girl.
Very nice. Please send me my best.
So when you went from Iran to...
I was 14 and after I went to Israel. I finished high school and college there.
Where?
Which Hebrew English.
Malama Tabarez, Ma...
Kalkala, זה היה חוג ראשי, חוג משני, פסיכולוגיה ומשפטים.
אני למדתי בארץ בתוכנית חד שנתית ב-75-76. It was mostly in Gibat Ram. They were starting to build Hara Sofim. And then we lived in Israel from 82 to 84.
Very nice. So this is when I was 75, I graduated Hebrew U and I came to America.
Very nice.
So I lived in Haaretz Ofim.
Very nice. Haaretz Ofim, have you been there recently?
Yes, I took a group.
So the beyond recognition.
And I was there, they were just there, you know, or not. They had just a dormitory.
Huge, they have a tower under the air. Wonderful.
Great, yeah.
It was a pleasure, thank you very much.
Yeah. What do you do there?
I work at Bryn Mawr College with computers.
Yeah, that's a rental. I don't know what that is.
Is that a ship?
You're older than him, or
we're a year apart.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you very much. Meeting you.
Thank you. Same. Thank you, sir.
Pass injury to Dr. Rahman Khan.
He has a question for you.
من کوهستانام خیلی زیاده با ربای منو خوب پیشنسته من از صبح با ربای ازم تا دیر وقت
رامین تو هم بیه صبح کلاسه که ماره
ربای بگید به کی آفر دادم بیاد بگید به کی آفر دادم بیاد فردا صبح ربای خاخام زده امروز رفتم لباسش رو بردارم گفتم ربای دوست دارید دفعه می بیایی؟ نه گفتم چرا؟
تو هم شروع کردن ول کردن نه یعنی خودشون بود دیده می بود
همه از گفتم که چرا؟ گفت من دوست ندارم با ربای زرگری گفتم شوخی نکنید با ربای زرگری شما you are the best friend
yeah we go back a long time با هم yeah.
امروز ما فاینالی ربای رفتیم دنبال پاسپورت من گفت پاسپورت تو پسته تا گفت پاسپورت تو پسته گفت اگر تا جمعه نیمت ماندی مورنین اینجا باش وی گونا ریشو ده پاسپورت بلیت هم نیرفت
چه میخوای بری بعد از پوریم؟
نه نه نکس توزده مورنی
بلیت هم گرفتی؟
گرفتم امروز گرفت
چند؟
1200
با چی؟
US Air
US Air. بعد از کجا استاپ میکنه؟
فیلادلفیا دو ساعت فقط داره.
آره؟
When?
Very good.
I didn't tell Dalia yet.
Hmm?
به دالیا هم نگفته.
ولی تو اون وقت از پاسپورت نیاد چیکار میکنی؟ گفتم بزنیم.
دیگه جمعه اگر نیاد ماندی مورنینگ میرم همونجا ریوشو میکنه. گفت I'm gonna give it. سه شمه صبح اونجا خدا اگه کاری دارید بگید
کجا میره اونجا؟
بچه داداش هم هست بنی هم که اونجاست خالم هم اونجاست اما بیشتر میرم یروشلایم بعد تلموند و اینا بسه 23 با میرم هفتم برمیگردم
دو هفته؟
تقریبا دو هفته
دو شبات
دو تا شبات اونجا
Very nice
حالا ما چجوری بگیم با ایشون صحبت کنیم؟ سر یه چیز بیخودی بذارم بالا کلاس هم دارم
تو ببین تو عصبانیت رو باید چیز کنی
No, I didn't do nothing You know what happened, Rabbi? Yosef, I get up now every Shabbat I'll be here and I try to bring Yosef here to sit here and he's coming and he's sitting شما که میبینید این دوست داره که بیاد اینجا و دارم میارمش صبح اومدم بیارمش صبح شبات بچه گفت نه نمیخوام بیام، من لباسم پوشیدم و حاضر شدم که بیام. گفت ابا ایوان کا. گفتم اوکی بیا بریم. تا اومد حاضر بشه بخواد بره، دلیا عادت کرده که این اول وقتی که از جا بلند میشه نتلت کنه بعد بره دستشویی. نتلت نکرد، اول رفت دستشویی بعد اومد نتلت کرد، خر بیار باقالی رو بارد. I don't let him come with you because he didn't do nothing. من رفتم تو اتاق، یوسف اومده به من اینجوری میگه ابا he must not come with you. ما هم سوزی لباسش رو تنش کردیم بدون این که بگیم شبات شالوم. اومدیم از خونه بیرون، اومدیم اینجا و دیگه رفتیم خونه، ایشون هم دم در وایستاده. بعد از اونجا که میام کلید نمیاره، کری نمی کنه، من فقط کلید میارم، منم کلید من به کمر بندم منتظر وایستاده. از شبات تا حالا با من حرف نمیزن. به خاطر چی؟ ایشون اول نتلده
نه تو میدونست که ماما رو خانم خانم گفته نه برید، نمیدونه اگه خانمت گفته نه در برید زن شوهر باید پشت هم دیگه باشه.
ربا این نمیتونه که این همش چیز بکنه، این یه تنها روزی که با منه شباته، تمام روزهای دیگه همش با دلیا.
چرا مغلطه میندازی؟
مغلطه نه
من دارم بهت میگم. ببین منم براخه شما هفت براخه بعد ببین حتی if you don't agree with your wife، اگه خانمی چیزی گفت بعدش مامان گفت اینجوری هست میتونی بری با خانمی دستان همین چیز کنی؟ جالی ها چون بزا چی؟ ولی خب داری چه مسیجی به بچه داری میدی؟
حالا هم هرچی باهاش میگم
چه مسیجی به بچه داری میدی؟
yeah you're right.
از مامان درد داده ولش کن چی بود آبا همه؟
میدونی ربای اون هفته یوسف فرقش به من چی میگه؟
این موضوع اینه تموم.
You're right. I accept it. ولی موضوع اینه که she doesn't respect me. Last week
تو هم respectش نمیکنی از روز که
به خاطر اینکه اون respect نمیکنه من هم respect نمیکنم.
آگه دو بچه
تو نگریف دو مگن باید
دلیلی هم که دارم میذارم برم دو هفته به خاطر اینکه یکم
بس هفته که زر کلاس نیستی
نه؟ نه نیست.
آره جون به عصبانیت افرادیه.
خب نوارش چیز گوش
من دیشب حالا به خاطر ازدواج شما نیست البته، ولی الان من از ازدواج نکردم به روای همه چی منم میدونه. من یه دختره میرفتم بیرون، دختره تراپیست.
چند دفعه رفته بیرون؟
last night was the third time. so اومده میگه که تو نمیتونی بیای خونه من رو هر جا میری بعد من اینجا ملاقات کنی و به خاطر اینکه من با پسرای ایرانی پرابلم داشتم و من رو ستارک کردن و من رو خواستن دنبال کنم و این باش. So night the time before that برزهش بود براش گل بردم و کارت بردم. دیشب هم نمیخواستم بهانه بیاره براش دوباره کارت بردم و گل بردم که برای چی آوردی؟ گفتم به خاطر اینکه ولنتاین دیه. رفتیم رستوران نشستیم غذا خوردیم و اینا. در از 10 دقیقه قبل این درست بغل من نشسته بود و یک لباسی و توالتی و همه چی باز پرفکت. So within the next 10 minutes کنم ببین خواستی دید داستا میگم در باره دوستم که بهش گفتم که داره نامزدی میکنه و با نامزدی پرابلم پیدا کرده با اینا. گفتیش که you know what I'll be right back. فان جکت چه اینجا گذاشت و برشت هم اونجا گذاشت و نه کجا رفت و برش 5 دقیقه برگشت.
کجا بودن؟ کوشه رستوران؟
نه من مقام لای حالا کوشه خورد تو سرش. ببین این دختره وقتی برگشت من این همه دیت کردم این دختره 360 درجه عوض شد. اول اینکه اومد برگشت صندلیشو از صندلی من 10 اینچ فاصله داد که I knew it. من بیستم که تموم شده. بعد بهش گفتم که خب از یه جو حال باید نایدیدیم یه هفته برای چه شبیه خوب هم بریم بیرون. گفت بریم بیرون. گفتم yeah. گفت no this is the last time. گفتم fine. بعد من اینقدر جنتلمنم که من وقتی که رفتیم پایین من پول اکسترا داده بودم که ماشین اینا با ماشین منو جلو پارک کنم. وله بعد وقتی اومده پایین گفتم که please give me your ticket I wanna pay for the valet. خب باش نمیخواستم اصلا بهانه بهش بدم. That was my thing. خود بلده که دادن ماشین منو اول آوردن بعد گفتش که you can go we're broke ما آردی با هم بریک آپ کردیم. گفتم نه من مهمون وسط راه نیستم، من از با تو شروع کردم دیت و دیت ما با تو حبیلی تموم میکنم، I'm gonna wait تا ماشینت بیا تو ماشینت بری بعد من بیرم. من هر ازدواج هم نکردم ولی من یه سه میدونم.
بهت گفت چرا بریک آپ کرد؟
نه
نمیگه.
ازش نپرسیدی؟
ببین اینا لیاقت محبت و خوبی ها ندارن. با من سه بار رفته بیرون برای این دختر بابا ببین رامی تو رو چیری تریت کرده.
ربای sometimes the girl they cannot decide. من
اینه به یکی معرفی کردم. I asked از رابای بزرگ توی سوئد، گفتن go for it. اون میخواده نه؟
معلومه. There's a lot of challenges and complications.
I tell you something, can I give him a suggestion? ببینید رابای همیشه گفته شبای شباد اینجا صحبت میکنه. I'm telling everybody. Even I told مهندس تهرانی پری روز. رفتم به یه نفر هست میاد ربای میشناسه، یه کاری میخواستم به کسی معرفی کنم ربای گذاشتم واسطه باشه. آقای مهندس تهرانی گفت به ما آفر شده اینو ولی پسرم نه. گفتم هیچ مسئله نیست ولی اصولا ربای زرگری شبای شبات که اینجا میان میگن که اگر کسی ناک میکنه به درتون برای دخترتون یا پسرتون give him a chance go out with him. ممکنه این شخص مزال باشه، مزالش باشه. نمیگه شما همیشه بذارید بره. If he doesn't work that other thing. And another thing, Rabbi is not standing by the both of them to say bracha. So اگر یه چیزی رو Rabbi میگه برو، برو. Listen to him.
رفت بیرون ولی okay fine. Very good.
هم برم بالم یه رو دیگه کلاس داریم تا بریم.
بروخ تا ادونای الوهین میل خوالان بره نفر شده بود رو بود خسرانه کل منش بارد رخیوت بایم نفر شده بود
خیلی عالمین.